joining us right now. You could hear him every Saturday at 10 o'clock right here on WIP. He's also a phenomenal columnist from the Philadelphia Inquirer. You could follow him at Mike Sielski on Twitter, and that would be the one and only Mike Sielski. Mike, good morning. How are you, my man?
Rob, I really don't want to interrupt the robust horsefly discussion that you guys were having. And honestly, that sounded like a horror movie.
Is that like Alien
or something?
Do horseflies puncture you twice? Like, do they have fangs?
Fangs?
I don't think they do.
I think you need to sit down and write like a screenplay about this or a memoir.
I'm telling you.
I think it would be huge.
I was worried about my foot having some sort of involvement. I don't want to panic anyone.
I'm worried for you right now.
I'm no longer as worried as I was. It was bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what goes on in LBI. I don't know.
Yeah, if your foot falls off in the middle of the show, then we'll know.
Yes, then we'll have some concerns.
Yeah.
But Mike, always good catching up with you, man. And I know you got a little announcement to make before we get into all the other stuff that we're going to be discussing. So what's going on?
Yeah, well, as everyone who knows and listens to and follows WIP knows, my partner Glenn Macnow has retired officially as of last Saturday, and we had a terrific send-off for him from 10 to 1, and I'm going to continue doing the Saturday show moving forward, and, you know, a lot of people have been asking who's going to partner with me on the show, and I am thrilled and pleased to be able to announce that the guy who's hosting right now, Rob Ellis, is going to be my partner on Saturdays.
What?
And
wow.
Yeah.
Hey.
How about that guy?
I've heard of that guy.
So exciting.
Hey, congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be terrific. I very much, and Rob Lakin, who runs WIP, agreed. We very much wanted to keep the tone and the content and the humor that Glenn, and particularly, obviously, Ray Dittinger, brought to the show for all that time, and that Glenn and I wanted to maintain over the last couple of years. And I cannot wait to get going with Rob. And most importantly, I think it's going to put to bed the idea that Rob and I are the same person, because we get confused for each other so many times.
Do you really?
We do. Wow. Yeah, we do. And that's why I can misbehave sometimes. I just say I'm Mike Sielski. So it works.
Funny.
Yes.
It's funny. At the Eagles Town Hall earlier this year, I swear to God, I had a listener come up to me as I was on like the dais on the show, talking to me about how he grew up next door to me in Delaware County. And I'm like, I'm not from Delaware County. I think you mean Rob Ellis. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
That's so funny. You guys don't look or sound alike. So interesting.
I have gotten that as well quite a bit. But let me just say, first off, Mike, I appreciate you in general. You know, we've done a lot of shows together over the years, and it's always been fun. And what you did along with Glenn, what Glenn did as the guy who kind of started this tradition on Saturdays with Ray, you know, and what he does on Sundays as well with Jody, etc. I mean, look, it's a high bar for real. And I'm, like I said, I'm very appreciative. It's a very unique show for sure. It's a very unique time slot. You got people running errands. You got people, you know, doing yard work, taking the kids to sports, right? There's a lot going on. There's a lot of ears on that show, and to be a part of it, I am I'm absolutely thrilled, and I appreciate you your partnership. I really am excited to get going here. I really can't wait, and we're gonna be together this Saturday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we're gonna do one show together this Saturday, and then
and you're leaving the country
for 3 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to Paris to cover the Olympics, but once I get back,
awesome,
in the middle of August, we will get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
In the way we want to do it, and I think, you know, like I said, we want to maintain what made the show with Glenn great.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we are going to tweak it a little bit.
Yep.
Just to try to broaden the audience as much as we possibly can, while at the same time keeping the same loyal group of people who tune in every Saturday. So it should be awesome.
Well said. And kudos again to Glenn, who retired Saturday. And Mike, you did a great job with that show. There was a lot of moving parts there, man. But it was really entertaining. Devin and I were on afterwards, and we were listening to it. And it was
tough act to follow.
It was, man. and it was really entertaining, and to hear all the old voices, you know, some guys from the past and whatnot, it was a nice blend of the old and the new, and you guys did a great job. So kudos all around. But Mike, I can't wait, man. I'm really excited. So humbled and grateful.
Yep. Absolutely.
So wanted to also hit you with a couple different things, Mike. And on a sadder note, and then I want to get into the Phillies and the Eagles. And I know you've written about this, and you are certainly an historian when it comes to this, whether it's college basketball in this town or LaSalle University, your alma mater. We lost Joe Jellybean Bryant, who is Kobe's dad at the, you know, too young at the age of 69. And before we get to, you know, kind of the way things were with he and Kobe at the end, just talk about what he meant to the history of Philadelphia basketball, because he's got a pretty solid place, man, in the pantheon.
Yeah, he does. He's an all-time Philly legend. He was a Public League Player of the Year at Bartram High School. He was a great player, as you said, Rob, at LaSalle. Averaged 20 points, 11 boards over 2 years. If he had not left early, he left LaSalle after his junior season. If he had not done that, he probably would have been the number one overall pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah, he was that good.
I had no idea.
Yep.
Yeah, he was that good, John. He was 6'9", and back in those days, if you were 6'9", a coach put you in the post.
You were
basically
center. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. And his skill set was really more of a guy kind of like a Magic Johnson or a LeBron, a big guy who could handle the ball.
Ben Simmons?
Well, he was a much better shooter than Ben. A much more willing shooter than Ben. Uh-huh. That doesn't take much, of course. But then, in the NBA, he spent 8 years. His career there didn't quite work out the way he would have wanted. He ended up having to go to Europe and Italy in particular to really kind of show what an incredible player he was. But, you know, then he came back and coached, and, you know, he was just one of these people. It was hard to stay mad at him for long, even if you were a little annoyed with him, because he had such an infectious personality, big belly laugh, huge smile. Anyone who encountered him really loved Jelly Bean. And, you know, it was pretty heartbreaking yesterday to find out that he had passed away Monday.
Yeah. So, Mike, and again, you know, you wish these all had happy endings, right? And they don't always. What was the relationship with Kobe and Joe prior to Kobe's passing?
Bittersweet. I mean, they were so close when Kobe was growing up. I mean, Kobe would tell people that one of the reasons he wanted to be the best basketball player in the world was to kind of restore the Bryant name, that he felt like, and Joe felt this way too, that he hadn't gotten a fair shake in the NBA, and Kobe took it upon himself to train and prepare to be this amazing player so that people would remember how great his dad was. But once Kobe got in the NBA and wanted to be his own man, he really ran into some conflicts with his family. And, you know, he got married very young. I don't think Joe and Pam, his parents, you know, wanted him to do that. There were other things that came up over time. And when Kobe died in 2020, I don't know the last time that he had spoken to his mom and dad. And that's the thing I think of, Rob, is, you know, Joe passed away Monday, and he had had a massive stroke. But it's hard not to think that he had spent the last 4.5 years thinking to himself, I just assumed I was going to have a chance to mend things with my son, and that chance never came. And he had been walking around with a broken heart for 4.5 years. And it's just, it's so sad. It really is so sad. I don't mean to bring people down.
No, it's real.
Like this, but
you know?
It's real, and it's just such a shame.
Yeah.
Let's move to some Eagles talk. I'd love to know a little bit more about emerging from our OTAs, our minicamp, our linebacker situation. Do we have any idea who's going to be wearing that green dot? Who's essentially the quarterback of the defense? I assume it's Devin White out there and blank.
Well, I mean, N'Kobe Dean was supposed to be that guy last year, too, John. Mm-hmm. You know, this to me is one of the reasons I'm a little more, I don't know what the word would be, cautious, maybe not quite as optimistic about what's going to happen with the Eagles this coming season. They just have so many question marks defensively. But both from a personnel standpoint, what are you going to get out of guys like Bryce Huff or Nolan Smith or Jalen Carter or Jordan Davis? But new defensive coordinator, and everybody knows Vic Fangio's resume, and it's great, and he's very accomplished and all of that. but is he going to be able to make this work with the personnel they have, and what roles are guys going to play? And I think at linebacker, that's one of that, that might be the biggest question mark. You know, there you see more teams nowadays who need and understand that you need really strong play out of your linebackers. You see that from the 49ers. You see it from the Ravens and the Steelers over time. And the Eagles haven't gotten that. They just flat out haven't. And when they have, they've let those guys walk away. So I think that's one of a few concern spots on the defense, John.
And cornerback-wise, man, it feels different because we've got a lot of talent. I just don't know how they're going to situate all this talent. We know Slay is starting on the outside, but then no one, I don't know for sure who our nickel cornerback is, and I don't know who's going to be starting opposite Slay. Do you have any news, any way to clue us in on this one?
No, I think it's going to sort itself out in training camp to a large degree. But by sort itself out, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be awesome. Look, they drafted a kid in the first round who everybody is incredibly high on. But just because everybody's incredibly high on him doesn't necessarily mean he's going to step in right away and play and be great. He very well might. That can certainly happen. We've seen that. Sauce Gardner with the Jets did that. But again, it's just this kind of overall feeling of uncertainty that I have about this team. You go back to 2022, you knew where guys were going to be. You felt good about kind of everything. The big question was, can Jalen Hurts take the step forward and be the quarterback the franchise needs him to be? And he did. And then last year happened. So, you know, you got question marks all over the place. And I think it's going to take 4 or 5 weeks into the season before we get a genuine sense of how this is all going to work. I don't think anybody can make any definite statements about this team right now.
Right.
Mike, let me hit you with the Phillies real quick out the door. We appreciate you hopping on, man. Would you give up? We were talking about this a little bit earlier. Would you part with Painter and or Miller, who are the most highly touted prospects in the system, to get a Mason Miller, to get a bat in here? Would you go that far? Do you view it as, hey, man, we got this close, got to do whatever it takes to make it happen? Or are you hesitant there?
I don't think I would part with an Aiden Miller under any circumstances based on what scouts and people are saying about him. The problem that the Phillies have here, Rob, and my colleague at the Inquirer, David Murphy, made this point, a great column today, and I agree with him completely, is that it's very easy to get swept up in, they are right here at the precipice, they can win the World Series if they add X, Y, or Z, they add an arm in the bullpen, they add a better bat in the outfield. What are you giving up to get that thing? And is that piece that you're getting a sure thing? It's one thing to give up the entire house to get a Mookie Betts or somebody like that. It's another thing to bring in a guy who maybe, you know, could turn out to be another Nick Castellanos, you know, who isn't, you know, has a great track record but isn't necessarily a sure thing. Look, they need another bullpen arm. I've been saying this. To me, that's even more important than adding a bat in the outfield. I know everybody wants to increase the offense production in the outfield. I totally get it. Come the postseason, bullpen arms are like defensemen in hockey. You can't have enough of them, and you don't know who's going to be going well at that time and who's not. So if you're going to have to give up something of value to get a Mason Miller, that I might be more inclined to do than to give up a ton of players and prospects to add an outfield bat.
Well said, well said. Mike, I can't wait for Saturday, man. I really appreciate you coming on so we kick it around a little bit, but I'm excited for us to get started, and just can't wait and appreciate a couple minutes from you today, man. Thank you.
You better be watching something, Rob, because we're going to continue with what we're watching. So I expect a full review of The Bear or whatever you are streaming.
I watched the season finale of The Bear last night before the All-Star game. So I'm prepared,
right,
Mike.
I'm only 3 episodes in, so I got to catch up and maybe kick that around.
What about House of the Dragon, guys?
I have not started that yet.
What about?
I haven't started it either. No.
How about Acolyte?
No, you know Acolyte. What, John? I honestly find all the Star Wars content lately to be just not worth my time.
Oh,
I really know.
You know, some of it
was good though.
Some of it is disappointing. Mm-hmm. Acolyte is not disappointing.
Yeah, I have one, Mike, that we're going to talk about that I think you're going to enjoy because it's a tie into history, but it's also very well done too. And it's I'll share it with you Saturday.
Don't tell me now.
No, it's good.
Surprise me on Saturday.
Thanks, John.
Mike, don't go poo pooing Acolyte too hard.
Now he's angry.
I am a little troubled by this. Accolade.
Just tend to your bug bite. Tend to your bug bite.
I know. I have.
Richie.
I have.
The entire Star Wars thing peaked for me with Rogue One. That was of the new stuff. That's clearly the best that best thing that anybody's done.
I loved Rogue One.
Yes.
I also loved Revenge of the Sith.
Oh no, it's terrible.
I think we're gonna have John call in Saturday. Mike.
We got to see Anakin turn into Darth Vader.
Here we go.
You know what, Rob? I think I'm
completed my life.
Partner John is coming on Saturday.
All right, it's done, Mike. Thanks, buddy. Good talking to you. I can't wait for Saturday.
Thanks.
All right,
take care.
You got it. That is Mike Sielski. Yeah, and I'm. Let me just reiterate real quick before we take a timeout. I'm not trying to make this too much about me, but I am appreciative. I know what big shoes I have to fill on Saturdays, and I can't wait to get started with Mike each and every Saturday from 10 to 1. I want to thank Rod Lakin and David Yadgaroff and everybody else involved in the decision making. So it's exciting, exciting. So
I'm
happy.
Can I just say something? I know we're up against.
Yeah.
I hosted my first show ever with you, Rob Ellis, on WIP now 2 years ago, which is crazy.
I heard.
And no one is more deserving of filling this role than you, so I'm so happy for you.
Thank you,
I will
Deb.
Be listening.
The feeling's mutual. I appreciate it. Thank you, John. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate
and
all the
guys,
kind words on social media. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, I'm excited.
Congratulations.
Thanks, bud. Thank you. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We will continue underplayed, overblown Eagles storyline. Who will be the Phillies' second-half MVP? Who will really step up here of the ones who aren't all-stars? At 9 o'clock, beat the Burt at 9:45. Times your We got a lot to do over the course of the next hour and 42 minutes and 27 seconds, but who's counting? Devin, John, Rob in for Joe. WIP Sports Time is 8:17. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Is that, hold on a second, is this Frank Stallone? Nice pull there, Joe Wechter. You can never go wrong with Frank Stallone, okay? Devin's favorite artist behind Taylor Swift is Frank Stallone. Little known fact.
Yeah.
Just throwing that kind of stuff out
there.
I knew
that. Love him.
Yes. So welcome back, everybody. Happy, happy Wednesday morning, one and all. Rob Ellis in for Joe DeCamera. I got you for the next 2 days, along with John Ritchie and Devin Caney. Devin killing the updates, as usual. And we're hanging with you. We appreciate you being with us, as always. All right, time for our Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new Chevy Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock together. Let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, so the question is, looking ahead here to the second half, which kicks off on Friday, guys. Very exciting. And I, by the way, can't wait for Friday. Having these next 2 days without Phillies baseball, torturous. It is torturous.
It's awful.
It is tough. All right, so which Phillies non-All-Star will have the best second half? Your choices, JT Realmuto, Bryson Stott, Kyle Schwarber, not here yet. I see the wheels turning in John Ritchie's head for his always on the money prediction coming up a little bit later on which one will win. And you almost always nail the percentage, too. It is uncanny how you do that. You're
sometimes
really good, man.
Sometimes.
Most of the time, you do.
It's
you get close.
It is so unlike Bryson Stott to have put together the first half that he did. It's confusing because even when he wasn't hitting, he was so smart, so shrewd. He was walking. He
uses all fields, can hit with two strikes.
Yeah. And it's just been, I don't quite understand what's gone wrong. So, and with JT, man, everything was going so right, and he was trying to force his way through with the knee injury, and you just don't know how much that was affecting him. How great could it have been had his knee not been acting up, and now, he finally had the surgery, finally sat down.
Have a blessing in disguise, though, John. You're gonna have a guy who isn't
fully
beaten
rested
down.
Version of JT.
Right.
I would bet my bottom dollar he's got some.
There could be some fire there.
Yeah, an explosive August.
Yes.
An explosive.
Mm-hmm.
September on the way.
Him and even guys who aren't on this list because they had a good, like Ranger Suarez and Zach Wheeler, who had a great first half of the season. I know we don't love the All-Star break as fans and covering the team because we miss them. They play every single day. Like, they keep us company. I think that's why when the Phillies, get knocked out, it's so painful. But I think Ranger Suarez, Zach Wheeler, a lot of these guys just need rest. And I hope that they're making the most of it. You know, talking to Rob Thompson
for sure that's
on
Ranger.
Sunday before the game, you know, he really just thinks, even guys like Alvarado, he's like, they just need some time off.
Yeah.
They need to get right. And he has full confidence that they'll come back and be back in the swing of things. And especially when it comes to Ranger, John, like you just mentioned, he needs this, and I hope it helps
him. A great point, Devin. Like, I think Ranger and Wheeler just, man, they need rest. Just you know, rest your arm. I think with Bryson Stott, it's just get away from it for a couple days.
Yeah.
Don't think about baseball. Mm-hmm. Just go back to Vegas, whatever. Just go chill. Get away from it.
Well, he's on the beach, right? Isn't he the one, I think Bryce Harper mentioned him when he was mic'd up last night.
He got a stray. He got a stray last night. How about those guys are all mic'd up, and Turner makes as good a play as he's ever made in a Phillies uniform, although he wasn't really in a Phillies uniform. And that's a whole other discussion. They should be wearing their regular jerseys, the regular uniforms.
I agree.
Like they used to back in the day. John disagrees. John?
I do.
John, you with us still?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I don't understand. Why should they?
Because that looks good, man. You like those uniforms?
I like a lot of the uniforms. I love changing it up. I really like
you're
the
a City Edition
City Connect.
Guy. Yeah, Connect.
I love the cream.
I like the cream.
I can't say every variety. I like some more than others. I especially
baby
like
blues
the
are
cream.
My favorite. Yeah.
I especially the baby blues are so unique and special. Mm-hmm. Like how can you not?
Yeah.
I mean they really catch your eye. I think everything has like such a special little niche. It's hard
I just
not
don't
to
love the all-star jerseys. That's all. All right.
Last year's were better than this year's.
For sure.
And last year's I wasn't crazy about. I mean, it does seem like they try to go in a different direction every year, which I appreciate. And sometimes they hit the target a little better than others. This year, they were a little farther from the target.
All right. So I want to circle back to something we played a little bit earlier for maybe our friends who were just getting up, just hopping in the car, whatever the case may be. So the Giants are the feature of, or the focal point of the Hard Knocks HBO series in the offseason. This is a new thing they're doing in the offseason. It usually revolves around training camp. They've also picked it up during the season the last couple of years, but this is new. And a lot of the first two episodes were the build up to the big decision, the crescendo of what they do with Saquon Barkley. Okay. Now, episode 3, which aired last night during the All-Star game, and I get a lot of people were locked in on the All-Star game, you didn't necessarily get a chance to see it. There's a really fascinating dynamic here between Joe Shane, who's their general manager, and John Mara, who's the owner. So let's set it up. This is before it became official that Saquon became an Eagle. And here is the discussion between the owner and his general manager. And you want to really be tuned in for what Mara has to say regarding Saquon here.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not. Which I don't know if I'll make a couple calls. I don't even know if that's gonna happen, but
I'm gonna have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that, as I've told you, just being out. I have been around enough players and stuff, but he's the most popular player we have by far.
Now again, I'm not in the room. But I've had discussions with bosses where they're trying to say to you without saying it, like, hey, I really liked when you did this. Didn't really love that, which was code for don't do that.
Yeah.
Do more of that.
Yeah.
And if he's saying to you, I'd have a real hard time sleeping if he goes to Philly, I'm probably figuring out a way to land Saquon Barkley and keep him in New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is sort of a veiled command.
I agree.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm not telling you, but I'm telling you.
Anywhere but Philly.
There's that, and there's also just like, he is going to be here, right? Like,
yeah,
we
like
can't
in other words,
lose this guy.
This isn't really happening, is it?
He's why the fans want to come and be a Giants fan. Like, he is our most popular player, and that makes a huge difference in my world. You know, I'm the owner of this
Cha-ching.
Team. Yeah. The player popularity really does make an impact. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
But that's what's so wild and a bit confusing to me. And look, I'm not saying I have an issue with it because I love that Saquon's here in Philadelphia. But if you have the team owner saying this, essentially, like, he's our most popular player, like I did, and not to Philly. You know, I'll be basically saying he'll be sick if he goes to Philadelphia or essentially anywhere else. how do they proceed to not give Saquon an offer
right.
that he can't turn down? Like, how does that, like you mentioned earlier in the show, Jeffrey, if this happened in Philadelphia and Jeffrey Lurie went to Howie Roseman.
Yeah, juxtapose Howie and Jeffrey right. having the same conversation.
Right. Well, that just doesn't happen, I don't think.
I think it's very clear that no one expected the Eagles especially to yeah. to do what the Eagles
agreed.
Have never
yeah.
done previously, which is pay a running back.
Well, you just heard him. Like, Philly's out. You know, that was when everything was just being thrown around mm-hmm. and who knew what was going to be real or what
I think
wasn't.
Howie did an awesome job of
just stealthily getting in there,
in
like
the
he always does
on this. Yeah.
yeah.
Howie won.
Yeah.
And this is, we got to see this from a different angle this time, but this is Howie did the unexpected. And in this case, it got us it landed us the prize of the offseason, if you ask me. I mean, Saquon Barkley will change our entire outlook as a team. He's going to make our offense run so much more efficiently than ever before. And yes, Kellen Moore will have a lot to do with mm-hmm. the offense running better. But, you know, but by proxy, the defense will be better rested. You know, it's just everything works better because of this, because of what we witnessed behind the scenes, the mistake that the Giants made.
Let's fast forward now. We just heard, you know, when there was still speculation how this was going to play out, the owner saying, I hope this doesn't happen. Well, guess what? It did. And here's the reaction you're going to hear again, John Mara. Listen to the very end of this soundbite here. But this is the interaction with Shane, one of the underlings, and John Mara.
What broke?
Saquon, 3 years, 37.75. Be worth up to 46.7.
So he got north of that.
26 guaranteed.
Wait, at over 13
now
years.
Beats the franchise tag number and has a maximum average per year salary of 15.8.
All right. We're gonna be fine.
I think we're looking to.
Okay, we're going to be fine. That's Shane, like, I know this looks bad. I'm telling you, we're good. And then the owner at the very end saying, I think we look timid. That is a bad sign for any employee.
And
when your boss throws that out
and
there.
And the way that he said it, I don't think that was edited down, correct? He said,
we're
going to be fine. It was right on the heels of, we're going to be fine. We're looking timid.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was a correction. It was a, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
By the way.
This is a bad look.
You think we look fine? We are timid.
Mm-hmm.
We look the opposite of fine, man.
Yeah.
You just lost our most popular player.
I'm not feeling fine.
It looks awful. I feel awful. Yeah,
yes.
I think that's what he's saying.
I do too.
I really enjoy.
And like, you better get this right, my man. If I just because a lot of money just walked out the door, and I don't mean what the Eagles paid Saquon, mm-hmm. I mean what I just lost in jersey sales, etc. So yeah, it's the really interesting stuff, man. If you're an Eagles fan, just sort of eavesdropping into that whole thing. Let's go to Corey. Corey's on a sell. Corey, you're on 94WIP.
Hi guys, a longtime listener, first time caller, and John, I've got some information about your monster bite.
Oh, good,
monster bite.
Uh oh.
I love that, Corey.
So good news. It's not anything poisonous.
Okay.
And it was probably a spider. My brother-in-law, years ago, we were in LBI in Beach Haven.
Yeah,
that's where I was. Right? It's great there, except for the monsters. So he's sleeping on a pull-out couch, rolls over, feels this horrific pain in his back. So apparently he rolled over on one because they only bite when they're provoked or scared.
That's why you don't smack them, right, Corey?
That's exactly right. So what probably happened, it was a burrowing wolf spider. So wolf spiders usually like houses,
wolf spider.
But they like to be in sand and dirt. And so my guess is if you were outside, you probably got too close to a nest. It jumped on you, you swatted it, and it bit you.
Jeez.
Wait, I thought wolf spiders were like really poisonous.
No, not poisonous.
Devin, what are you doing to them? What are you trying to do here?
They look crazy, but
so the exterminator for the house that we were at was concerned it was a brown recluse because they look the same and those are super poisonous.
Uh-huh.
So we know that it's a wolf spider because the exterminator was like, well, if you have it, keep it, because he'd smashed it. So we had it. He looked at it and was like, no, it's a wolf spider. That's definitely what got you. But because it was on his back, my husband and I were the ones checking on it every once in a while, and for sure, two fang marks.
Okay.
So that's that's the telltale sign, right? Then John, so John wasn't like exaggerating that.
No. No.
Wow. Okay.
I've seen the bite myself. It's one of the only spiders that can bite a person hard enough to actually leave two marks.
Jeez.
Wow.
But
okay.
You'll be fine. You did everything right. You'll be all right.
All right.
But
Corey, good. Because I was worried. He was sort of drifting for a minute there during the show. He was concerned. You just reeled him back in.
I was thinking.
He was having
bug
bite issues. Yeah.
Thank you.
Corey, thanks. Good stuff.
It got splotchy and everything. He put ice on it and the splotchiness would go away. You'll be all right. It lasted like a week or so.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. It sounds very similar.
There we go.
Huh.
Corey, good info.
Thank
appreciate
you.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Have a good
take care.
Guys.
That's
do you feel better? I feel better for
I
you.
I do feel better.
Devin just tried to bring it back into terror territory.
Well, I know. I genuinely thought that. So I hate spiders. Like they freak
Why?
Me out probably more than any other.
I see this a lot.
People's fears are like snakes. You know, heights. Like for me, it's spiders.
It doesn't make sense to me at all.
I don't like them.
Spiders are this big.
Well, that's why they're
why
scary.
Why is that scary?
Because they can be on you and you don't know it.
But that's not scary.
That is scary.
It can't be. Okay, so
but
it's
I always
on
thought that
you,
wolf
you
spiders
know it.
Were
it's
poisonous.
It's not hurting you.
But they do hurt you. One literally bit you.
But it didn't hurt me.
I mean, said it hurt you.
I felt it bite me. You know, like
you
as I was
really
slapping
back
it or
in
whatever.
Now. You said you had a big welt and you were freaked out and it was poisonous. And
well, I didn't.
Then you had an existential crisis. Like
I,
so,
it was
they
an
are
existential
scared.
Crisis. That's true. I think it's crazy that there were fang marks.
Well, we know now it's real.
Yeah. I'm not convinced that it was a wolf spider, though. I know what a wolf spider looks like. Like, a wolf spider is pretty big. If a wolf spider would have been what bit me, when I slapped it and looked at it, like, I would have, even in the dark, I think I would have recognized a wolf spider. That's a big old jalopy of an insect, like an arachnid, I should say. Like it's like
and they're like hairy too, aren't they?
Exactly. Like it's
you would
a
have
big.
Noticed that, probably.
It's like a tarantula. Well, it's not a tarantula.
Is it like
sized.
The one in the Brady Bunch?
It's big.
It's like that one. Was it Peter who had it crawling on him? Remember when they got
no,
the tiki
I think
torch?
That's a tarantula, isn't it?
That was a tarantula.
Peter.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the Hawaii
Brady episode.
Bunch in Hawaii.
Yeah, don't mess with the tiki thing.
Wolf spiders, I mean, I'm assuming wolf spiders can be really small, too.
I think so.
As they grow into the bigger version. So maybe it was just a small one.
Maybe
that
you got a baby
on
one.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An adolescent. We need, my sources tell me we need some help for Time's Yours. 215-238-4500. 215-238-4500. That's how you register your Time's Yours call. We will play that for you at 9:45. At 9 o'clock, it'll be Beat the Burt head-to-head. Rob against John. Devin has crafted some brilliant questions for us to see who is the king of pop culture.
I'm going through them now.
Mm. Okay.
She's excited.
She's dialed in. I can tell. She's very focused right now.
I don't know who I think is going to win here.
I don't know either.
We haven't done this you two against
I always
each other
did the audience.
No. Yeah.
I always want to get the audience.
Rob versus audience.
Yeah.
I think it might be tough. I think I might struggle being that I've been sort of like cut off from the world for a week and a half.
While you frolicked.
Yeah.
He was
like
frolicking.
I really was turning my brain
off. But I know like you read like Us magazine and people.
Sometimes.
So you're pretty up to speed on stuff.
I haven't been the last week and a half. While vacationing,
right.
I didn't have my mags with me because I have my subscription at the house.
How many questions do we want to do? Five?
Five's fair.
Five?
Yeah.
Let's do, okay, so five questions. Let's do five in 45 seconds.
Yes.
Power?
Yes.
Okay. We'll
that sounds good. So what we'll do is John will get first crack.
Okay.
I'll get out of here. I'll go to the soundproof room. John goes first, and I'll come back in, and we'll go. Does that work for you guys?
Yeah.
Fair, John?
Yeah.
All right. That's what we'll do.
Sounds
so
good.
We'll do that at 9 o'clock. And again, we have a pair of tickets. Dave Matthews Band. This is very exciting, man. A pair of tickets for Dave Matthews Band at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. That's July 19th. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. And the question is, Devin had to move yesterday in that just heat wave that we're in right now, which is needless
is
to say.
Is it still happening?
Are you done
wave?
Now? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Today's going to be hot, too.
It feels like it's never going to end, honestly. place.
It is bad. It is bad.
It's been so awful.
Did your
yesterday was the worst.
Did you complete your move?
Well, like, the stuff is in the new apartment, but, like, I slept on my sofa last night because my bed is still not, like, everything
assembled
is,
and whatnot.
That's why, so Richie asked us earlier in the show, like, do you lay out your clothes the night before, essentially? Like, do you plan to match? And I was like, honestly, this was the first thing I just grabbed out of a box. Like, everything is still in complete disarray. And that's the worst part of moving, I think, is you're just unorganized for a solid month after.
But, you know, you have your go-to and you're like, oh, man, where's this?
Right.
Where's my dish? Where's my bowl? Where's my pan? You know, exactly. Where's anything?
Do you like your new place better than your old place?
Well, yeah, that's why I'm or part of why I moved. It's why anyone moves, right?
Well, I mean,
she's been there for like 12 hours. I mean, let's hope.
That's, well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I would hope that is a good question.
I will like it once everything is, you know, put away. Right now, it's a disaster.
Is it your dream place?
No. I don't think here's the good thing. Philadelphia is going to be a dream place.
You didn't move far from where you were. It's not like your commute's affected or any of that. You're basically in the same, you know, vicinity.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I've done cross-country moves before, and it almost makes it more frustrating, though, when it's just two blocks away, which is how far I moved, because you still have to do the whole thing.
Right. Yeah.
And you're just not going as far.
Right, but. Right.
All right, people want to react to what we just played there from Hard Knocks. You want to jump in on the Phils for the second half, the All-Star game last night. Again, good showing, really, from all the Phillies. You had hits from your position players. The pitchers came in and did a really nice job. Didn't get a big opportunity, certainly when it comes to Christopher Sanchez. Blink and you missed him. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, everybody held their own. And I thought really just came off great.
Everyone was
the entire weekend.
Played solid.
Yeah.
You know, like, we can be proud. Jeez, Alec Bohm more than held his own in the home run derby. He was kicking butt and like way beyond what I would have expected.
Yes.
And everyone got hits last night.
Yes.
That, which I thought was amazing. But then, man, we're losing 10 out of 11. Like, the NL needs to get something going.
Without question.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
And especially when we represent such a massive portion of the NL team this year.
And usually when you, like for people didn't see the game, Ohtani hit a three-run shot. Usually when you get a lead like that, and I know it was early, granted, but with the amount of good pitching you can throw at somebody, you're usually in good shape. But you know, the AL fought back, and then Duran hit that home run, and that was kind of it. They really shut them down after that, for sure. Let's go to Sean. He's in Perkasie. Sean, you're on 94 WIP. Hey, Sean. Sean.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, brother.
Hey,
how are
Sean?
Good. So I've really had some time to sit here and, you know, cool off. But, man, why do you guys keep taking that weasel Cowboy Jim's calls? God, get him out of here.
Yeah, but didn't Rob do a good job of handling him?
Oh,
like, if you're going to take Cowboy Jim's call, you might as well
give
him the business.
I can't really do much more than smack him around, Sean. How about that?
Terrible, terrible. Hey, so I really wanted to get in on the trade deadline and talk about that. So I am very much willing to sell or trade Ada Miller for another player, and here's why. There are players that can rake in the minors and, you know, do spectacular, but when they come up to the majors, they just can't handle it. And a perfect recent example is Jackson Holliday from the Orioles. You know, he was spectacular in the minors. Everybody thought he was the next big thing. He's going to come up and just pick up right where he left off, and he was horrible, just couldn't handle it and got sent right back down.
Yeah, Sean, you're taking a real small sample size. Jackson Holliday was 20 years old and had a bad month. I mean, you're writing him off?
I'm not writing him off. I think he's a generational talent. He just needs more time. But, you know, there's no guarantee that, you know, he'll come back and he can handle it.
There's no guarantees about anything, though.
Right.
All right. Anyway, yeah, look, I think if you want to move them, let me put it this way. Part of the reason why you grow your farm system, and the Phillies done a really good job the last couple of years growing it, is for this kind of thing, right? It is. It's to move prospects to close the deal out. And the Phillies did it years ago with Kyle Drabek and landed Roy Halladay, and you know, the rest is history. I'm not completely opposed to it, just in theory. I just think when you're talking about guys like Painter and Miller, who were at the upper echelon, you just better be right with the person that you bring in.
It feels like our farm system has been devoid of talent for a bit there. You know, like we had some lean years. Quite a few lean years there for a good part of a decade. And so we were set back. And now it's reinvigorating. And now there are actually guys down there who are attractive. And it's exciting. And we want to actually hang on to these guys. We've been hearing about Painter for a couple seasons now.
Right.
Man, I can't wait to see how good this guy could be. But if need be, like for this season, because we know with the best record in all of baseball,
right.
Like we know this team actually has a legitimate chance to win the World Series. Like this is when you could conceive of trading away some of those awesome, awesome young arms or talents or whatever to give us exactly what we need for whatever that may be. End of the season.
Look, here's the bottom line. If you move one of these guys, Sean, John, Devin, and everybody else listening, if you move one of these guys and you win a World Series, honestly, it doesn't matter what happens after that with them. If they go on to be superstars for whatever team, so be it. You won your championship, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Because you won the World Series.
Absolutely right. If you don't and the guy blows up, you're forever going to be questioning it.
Was not worth it.
Yeah, there's high stakes here. Sean, give us something that stinks about adulting.
All right, first off, I want to say, Devin, congrats on the move.
Oh, thank you, Sean. I appreciate that.
I would say the thing that sucks about adulting, let's go with doing taxes.
That's
nobody enjoys
one.
It.
That's a good one, Sean. I'm surprised no one has said it.
Yeah, I can't believe it took that long. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, that's a bad one. I mean, a good one, but, you know.
No, it's not good. It depends, I guess, on what bracket you're in.
that's true.
It's never been an enjoyable experience for me. Let me put it that way. For a while... My poor cousin. I used to have my cousin do it for me. And he was so nice. Didn't charge me. He would do, you know, whatever. And finally, I'm like, I can't keep doing this to this guy. Because first of all, I have like 78 jobs. So there's a lot to it. No, I don't anymore. And it was the right move for him because he was just tortured doing mine. Dev, I think you could appreciate this when you have a lot of different.
Yeah, I was just going to say when you're
1099s,
when you're a part-time warrior, it's very hard to keep track of everything.
There's a lot to it. There is a lot
that
to
sucks.
It. Yep. Let's go to Bam in Upper Darby. Bam, you're on 94 WIP.
Good morning, crew. How y'all doing?
What's up, Bam?
Doing great, Bam.
No, much. Hey, John.
Yeah.
How's your eyes coming along? Mine's coming along great. I'm just, the only thing is I'm trying to wait for them to approve these glasses I can see again, man.
Wait, my eyes are great. My eyes are doing great. And
he got his glasses adjusted too, Ben. He's not sore anymore.
My glasses are working top notch. You're saying that you're actually seeing better?
I'm waiting to see better because they're still trying to approve my prescription for my glasses.
Keep at it.
Are the eyes improving, Bam? Are they getting better?
I'm starting to see more shadow, more light.
Okay, that's a good
sign. That's a big deal, Bam.
Congrats, man.
Congrats.
Hopefully we'll keep rolling. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And before I get to my Phillies point, I got a thing.
I feel better for you.
I do feel better.
Devin just tried to bring it back into, you know, terror territory.
Well, I know. I genuinely thought that. So I hate spiders. Like, they freak me out probably more than any other.
People's
fears are to, like, snakes, you know, heights. Like, for me, it's spiders.
It doesn't make sense to me at all.
I don't like them.
Spiders are this big.
Well,
like,
that's why they're
why
scary.
Why is that scary?
Because they can be on you and you don't know it.
But that's not scary.
That
so
is scary.
It can't be. Okay, so
but
it's
I always
on
thought
you,
that wolf
you
spiders
don't know it.
Were
it's
poisonous.
Not hurting you.
But they do hurt you. One literally bit you.
But it didn't hurt me.
Said it hurt you.
I felt it bite me. You know, like
you
as I was
really
slapping
back
it or
in
whatever.
Now. You said you had a big welt and you were freaked out and it was poisonous. And
well, I didn't.
Then you had an existential crisis. Like I so
it was
they are
an
scared.
Existential crisis. That's true. I think it's crazy that there were fang marks.
Well, we know now it's real.
Yeah. I'm not convinced that it was a wolf spider, though. I know what a wolf spider looks like. Like, a wolf spider is pretty big. If a wolf spider would have been what bit me, when I slapped it, and looked at it, like I would have, even in the dark, I think I would have recognized a wolf spider. That's a big old jalopy of an insect, like an arachnid, I should say. Like it's like
yeah, and they're like hairy too, aren't they?
Exactly. Like it's a big. That, it's like a tarant. Well, it's not a tarantula.
Is it like
size.
The one in the Brady Bunch?
It's big.
It's like that one. Was it Peter who had it crawling on him? Remember when they got the tiki torch?
I think that's a tarantula, isn't it?
That was a tarantula. You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the Hawaii
episode.
Hawaii.
Yeah. Don't mess with the tiki thing.
Wolf spiders. I mean, I'm assuming wolf spiders can be really small too. As they grow into the bigger version. So maybe it was just a small one.
Maybe
that
got a baby
on
one.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah. An adolescent. My sources tell me we need some help for time's yours. 215-238-4500. That's how you register your Time's Yours call. We will play that for you at 9:45. At 9 o'clock, it'll be Beat the Burt head-to-head, Rob against John. Devin has crafted some brilliant questions for us to see who is the king of pop culture.
I'm going through them now.
Mm. Okay.
She's excited.
She's dialed in. I can tell. She's very focused right now.
I don't know who I think is going to win here.
So I don't know either.
We haven't done this, you two, against
I always
each other
did the audience.
No. Yeah,
I always want to get the audience.
Rob versus audience.
Yeah.
I think it might be tough. I think I might struggle, being that I've been sort of like cut off from the world for a week and a half.
While you frolicked.
Yeah.
He was
like,
frolicking.
I really was turning my brain
off. But I know, like, you read, like, Us magazine and people.
Sometimes.
So you're pretty up to speed on stuff.
I haven't been the last week and a half. While vacationing,
right.
I didn't have my mags with me because I have my subscription at the house.
How many questions do we want to do? Five?
Five's fair.
Five.
Yeah.
Let's do, okay, so five questions. Let's do 5 in 45 seconds.
Yes. Power? Yes.
Okay. We'll
that sounds good. So what we'll do is John will get first crack.
Okay.
I'll get out of here. I'll go to the soundproof room. John goes first, and I'll come back in, and we'll go. Does that work for you guys?
Yeah.
Fair, John?
Yeah.
All right. That's what we'll do.
Sounds
so
good.
We'll do that at 9 o'clock. And again, we have a pair of tickets. Dave Matthews Band. This is very exciting, man. A pair of tickets for Dave Matthews Band at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. That's July 19th. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. And the question is, Devin had to move yesterday in that just heat wave that we're in right now, which is needless
is
to say.
Is it still happening?
Are you done
heat wave?
Now? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Today's going to be hot, too.
It feels like it's never going to end, honestly.
It is bad. It is bad.
It's been so awful.
Did your move?
The worst.
Did you complete your move?
Well, like, the stuff is in the new apartment, but like, I slept on my sofa last night because my bed is still not, like, everything
assembled and whatnot.
That's why, so Richie asked us earlier in the show, like, do you lay out your clothes the night before, essentially? Like, do you plan to match? And I was like, honestly, this was the first thing I just grabbed out of a box. Like, everything is still in complete disarray. And that's the worst part of moving, I think, is you're just unorganized for a solid month after.
But, you know, you have your go-to and you're like, oh, man, where's this?
Right.
Where's my dish? Where's my bowl? Where's my pan? You know,
exactly.
Where's anything?
Do you like your new place better than your old place?
Well, yeah, that's why I'm or part of why I moved. It's why anyone moves, right?
Well, I mean,
she's been there for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, let's hope.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I would
will,
hope.
So no,
I would
no,
hope
but that
you
is
like
a good
better.
Question. I will like it once everything is, you know, put away. Right now, it's a disaster.
Is it your dream place?
No, I don't think it.
Well, the good here's the good
in
thing.
Philadelphia is going to be a dream place.
You're not. You didn't move far from where you were. It's not like your commute's affected or any of that.
No.
You're basically in the same, you know, vicinity.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I've done cross country moves before, and it's not. It almost makes it more frustrating though when it's just two blocks away, which is how far I moved, because you still have to do the whole thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and you're just not going as far.
Right.
But.
Right.
All right, people want to react to what we just played there from Hard Knocks. You want to jump in on the Phils for the second half, the All-Star game last night. Again, good showing, really, from all the Phillies. You had hits from your position players. The pitchers came in and did a really nice job. Didn't get a big opportunity, certainly when it comes to Christopher Sanchez. Blink and you missed him.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, everybody held their own. And I thought really just came off great.
Everyone was
the entire weekend.
Played solid.
Yeah.
You know, like, we can be proud. Jeez, Alec Bohm. more than held his own in the home run derby. He was kicking butt and like way beyond what I would have expected.
Yes.
And everyone got hits last night.
Yes.
That, which I thought was amazing. But then, man, we're losing 10 out of 11. Like, the NL needs to get something going.
Without question.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
And especially when we represent such a massive portion of the NL team this year.
And usually when you, like for people didn't see the game, Ohtani hit a three-run shot. Usually when you get a lead like that, and I know it was early, granted, but with the amount of good
game
pitching
like
you can throw at somebody,
awesome,
yeah,
pitching,
you're usually in good shape. But
yeah,
you know, the AL fought back, and then Duran hit that home run, and that was kind of it. They really shut them down after that, for sure. Let's go to Sean. He's in Perkasie. Sean, you're on 94 WIP. Hey, Sean. Sean.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, brother.
Hey,
how are
Sean?
You?
Good. So I've really had some time to sit here and, you know, cool off, but man, why do you guys keep taking that weasel Cowboy Jim's calls? God, get him out of here.
Yeah, but didn't Rob do a good job of handling him?
Oh,
like, if you're going to take Cowboy Jim's call, you might as well.
Yeah, I mean,
give him the business.
I can't really do much more than smack him around, Sean. How about that?
Terrible, terrible. Hey, so I really wanted to get in on the trade deadline and talk about that. So I am very much willing to sell or trade Ada Miller for another player, and here's why. There are players that can rake in the minors and, you know, do spectacular, but when they come up to the majors, they just can't handle it. And a perfect recent example is Jackson Holliday from the Orioles. You know, he was spectacular in the minors. Everybody thought he was the next big thing. He's going to come up and just pick up right where he left off, and he was horrible, just couldn't handle it and got sent right back down.
Yeah, Sean, you're taking a real small sample size. Jackson Holliday was 20 years old and had a bad month. I mean, you're writing him off?
I'm not writing him off. I think he's a generational talent. He just needs more time. But,
right,
you know, there's no guarantee that, you know, he'll come back and he can handle it.
There's no guarantees about anything, though.
Right.
All right. Anyway, yeah, look, I think if you want to move them, let me put it this way. Part of the reason why you grow your farm system, the Phillies done a really good job the last couple of years growing it, is for this kind of thing, right? It is. It's to move prospects to close the deal out. And the Phillies did it years ago with Kyle Drabek and landed Roy Halladay, and you know, the rest is history. I'm not completely opposed to it, just in theory. I just think when you're talking about guys like Painter and Miller, who are at the upper echelon, you just better be right with the person that you bring in.
It feels like our farm system has been devoid of talent for a bit there. You know, like, we had some lean years. Quite a few lean years there for a good part of a decade. And so we were set back. And now it's reinvigorating, and now there are actually guys down there who are attractive, and it's exciting, and we want to actually hang on to these guys. We've been hearing about Painter for a couple seasons now.
Right.
Man, I can't wait to see how good this guy could be. But if need be, like, for this season, because we know with the best record in all of baseball,
right,
like, we know this team actually has a legitimate chance to win the World Series. Like, this is when you could conceive of trading away some of those awesome, awesome young arms or talents or whatever to give us exactly what we need for whatever that may be. End of the season.
Look, here's the bottom line. If you move one of these guys, Sean, John, Devin, and everybody else listening, if you move one of these guys and you win a World Series, honestly, it doesn't matter what happens after that with them. If they go on to be superstars for whatever team, so be it. You won your championship, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Because you won the World Series.
Absolutely right. If you don't and the guy blows up, you're forever going to be questioning it.
It was not worth it.
Yeah, there's high stakes here. Sean, give us something that stinks about adulting.
All right, first off, I want to say, Devin, congrats on the move.
Oh, thank you, Sean. I appreciate that.
I would say the thing that sucks about adulting, let's go with doing taxes.
That's
nobody enjoys
one.
It.
That's a good one,
Sean.
I'm surprised
Sean.
No
Thanks,
one has
man.
Said it until
Yeah, I can't
now.
Believe it took that long. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, that's a bad one. I mean, a good one, but, you know.
No, it's not good. It depends, I guess, on what bracket you're in.
that's true.
It's never
that's
been an
point.
Enjoyable experience for me. Let me put it that way. For a while, My poor cousin. I used to have my cousin do it for me. And he was so nice. Didn't charge me. He would do, you know, whatever. And finally, I'm like, I can't keep doing this to this guy. Because first of all,
you
I have like 78 jobs. So there's like, there's a lot to it. No, I don't anymore. And it was the right move for him because he was just tortured doing mine. Dev, I think you could appreciate this when you have a lot of different.
Yeah, I was just going to say when you're 1099s, when you're a part-time warrior, it's very hard to keep track of everything.
There's a lot to it. There is a lot
to
it. Yep. Let's go to Bam in Upper Darby. Bam, you're on 94WIP.
Good morning, morning crew. How y'all doing?
What's up, Bam?
Doing great, Bam.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
How's your eyes coming along? Mine's coming along great. I'm just, the only thing is I'm trying to wait for them to approve these glasses so I can see again, man.
Wait, you're my what? My eyes are great. My eyes are doing great. And
he got his glasses adjusted too, Ben. He's not sore anymore.
My glasses are working top notch. You're saying that you're actually seeing better?
I'm waiting to see better because they're still trying to approve my prescription for my glasses.
Keep at it.
Eyes improving, Bam? Are they getting better?
I'm starting to see more shadow, more light.
Okay, that's a good
sign. That's a big deal, Bam.
Congrats, man.
Congrats.
Hopefully they'll keep rolling. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And before I get to my Phillies point, I got a thing. I have a cousin that used to go to school with Cowboy Jim.
Oh, God. Your poor cousin.
No, he actually was great. He was a hero. He bullied Jim out of his lunch money every day.
Oh, jeez. All right. we're not pro-bullying, Bam. We're not. I just beat him up on the radio. That's enough.
I know.
Yes.
But, all right.
I know you're kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah. To my Phillies point, I think we need I think the most improved player coming out of the break is going to be Kyle Schwarber.
That's a good answer. You know, and he hasn't had a bad year.
Well,
he just hasn't
sort of like
blown
delayed.
Up. Yeah.
The Schwoon, his Schwummer.
It's going to be a Schwagist.
Maybe. That'd be so cool because we haven't had as much of a Schwagist. It's always been Schwoon.
I
and
like the
more
sound. Schwagist
Schwally.
Sounds better than
Schwagist definitely has a better ring.
I don't
so
mind Schwagist.
That's going to help.
Schweptember.
Yep. Schweptember.
It's
Schwoctober.
Schwooper.
we all need help.
We do.
Clearly. Give me something that stinks about adulting.
All right, before I give my answer, I want to pass along a message. I hope the camera's listening. I got a belt for you when you win your 300, buddy.
You got a belt? You got a belt made for him.
Bam.
I don't think we need to pump that up anymore, do we?
Ew. No, come on. Are you kidding?
Oh, my God.
Bam. Don't encourage
him. Yeah, Bam,
him like
you're
that.
Encouraging.
That's
this is not good.
You're joking.
The head's
right?
Big enough.
No, I'm going to make it. It's in the shape of a hammer.
Oh, man.
Gosh. All right. All right,
well,
Bam.
I'm not going to tell him. Is that all right?
Yeah, don't say anything to him.
Okay. I mean, it is a very good idea.
You know, Bam, give us something
nice.
That stinks about adulting.
Being a parent.
You know what? You know what? That's a pretty great answer. That's a pretty great answer.
Gosh.
I am not a parent. I'm a dog parent, I guess. But that was funny.
Quite different. Yes, but you're right.
Just the direct way in which he laid that out.
You know what? Bam might be in good shape for Dave Matthews. We'll see. You got an hour to top that, man. Richie and I just had the same look, like, yes.
That's funny.
Yes. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a timeout. And when we come back, it is time for Beat the Bert, but we put a little twist on it. It is Rob against John, head-to-head. Devin is our host. She is our game show host. And she has pop culture questions for us. 5, and we get 9 seconds for each? Is that what you said?
Well, 45 seconds overall. Do we think that's fair?
Well, yeah, I think it's fair. John, do you think we need more?
No, that sounds good.
All right, good.
Okay.
We'll do it when we come back. 215-592-9494. Remember, time's yours coming up at 945, 215-238-4500. That's how you get in for time's yours, so we get a lot to do.
Should I time it?
Final hour of the program.
I should be timing it, right?
How can you time yourself?
I can time it.
No, I trust John.
Wechter, can you time it?
Can we have Francisco time it?
Sure.
I swear I can do it, guys.
One, two.
Mississippi. One Mississippi, Joe. All right. I trust Richie to do it.
I do have good, like, beat the hammer timing capabilities.
Yeah, but you can't time it while Rob is
answering.
Yeah, you're asking a lot of yourself.
You're answering questions. You can't be staring
at it. We'll have Francisco handle it.
Okay.
He's in here. We're good.
Joe's got it. All right. Okay. Somebody's got it besides you, John.
All right.
John Richie, Devin Caney, Rob in for Joe. WIP Sports Time is 8:57.